You guys say no limits?
No limits.
Say it again. No limits.
No limits.
We worship the God who does exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever think or imagine. His love is on towards you exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. His goodness is on towards you this morning exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. Do you guys know that? Can you like, that's why that phrase no limits is so good, because the reality is, on the flip side, your ability to receive is exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. He has more love to pour out on you than you can think or imagine, but that means that he has made you a receptacle to receive more of his love than you could ever think or imagine. Like, we live in a world of limits. We live in a world of constraints. We live in a world where the society tells us that's enough. You only deserve so much. You only are worth so much. You only, like, your lot in life is only for that particular set. And yet we worship a God who says that's not how the kingdom of God operates. He is exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. His provision for you is exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. His joy and the amount of joy that you could actually host is exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. This isn't my message. I was worshiping and I was just hosting, and he said, no limits. He said, that's the word for today. And then he backed it up with that verse. And the reality is, he wants us to break out. Like, we sang a song about freedom. He wants us to break out. He's tired of his sons and daughters living in a playpen that has four walls. He's breaking down the walls. He's saying, will you receive all that I'm pouring out for you? Like, we're talking about the blood. His blood is sufficient for all, way more than what you could ever think or imagine. And yet we think or feel, we act like we have to live with a measure of stuff that he hasn't set us free from yet. He can't. Or he's parceling out just a little bit, right? Yeah, it's a budget. Anyway, so I'm going to pray that over us today. So Jesus, I feel like that's on your heart. And so we declare again over the people who hear the sound of my voice, over the people who would call Grace home who are able to be with us this morning, we declare no limits. There's no limits. We worship the God who is exceedingly above what we can think or imagine. He's greater. He accomplishes more for us. He has exceedingly abundantly more for us in all of the resources of heaven. His heart is on towards us. He sings over us. He dances over us. His sacrificial love is sufficient, exceedingly abundantly more than we could think or imagine. And so, Lord, would you give us a grace to receive today in just a new and a fresh way, at a deeper level, higher level, a wider level, the depths of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This morning, we're going to talk about an invitation, not to the Christmas party, but an invitation to linger. To linger. And if you look up the word linger in the dictionary, you'll see that to linger means to stay in a place longer than necessary because of a reluctance to leave. There's something in you, if you're going to linger, there's a reluctance to leave whatever you're in, whatever situation you're in. The other definition is to spend a long time over something, right? So you can linger over an idea or a thought or or an issue. And we're going to start with Exodus chapter 33. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And we're going to look at verse 7 and go down from there. Exodus 33:7. It says, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. What can we pull out of this? Moses loved the presence of the Lord. He loved the presence of the Lord. He was physically transformed by the presence of the Lord, right? You look in the other accounts that his face would shine, his body, like that sense. He had to put a veil over his face. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a friend in the presence of God. But when Moses left the tent, Joshua lingered. Joshua, he was just a young man. He was Moses' servant. He didn't leave the tent. Joshua, it's the same Joshua who was one of the spies that came back with a good report when they went to survey the promised land. It's the same Joshua who was the one who led the people of Israel into the promised land. What I pull from that is that lingering in the presence was a key for everything that followed in Joshua's life. There was something that he gained in that tent, even after Moses, how great Moses was. He was an amazing leader, a great friend of God. He saw God face to face, phenomenal. When he left, Joshua lingered. There was something he was hungry for in the presence of God. Let's jump to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. She came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Where did Mary linger? Jesus' feet. She planted herself at his feet while he was teaching, while he was sharing the presence of the Lord. In the midst of all that needed to be done, right, or could be done, to create really, I think, an atmosphere of excellence. Like often I think Martha, she's been preached about saying that she gets a bad rap, right? What was Martha trying to do? She was just trying to create an excellent atmosphere for Jesus. She was working hard, doing everything custom would say. If a guest of honor comes into your home, what do? You go above and beyond to make sure it's the most excellent place prepared for him. That's what Martha was doing. But Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary chose to linger in Jesus' presence. I like to say Martha chose proximity while Mary chose presence. Martha was around Jesus. Martha was doing everything to try to care for Jesus, but Jesus said that Mary chose the best part or the good part, which is just to sit in my presence and receive, right? Custom, tradition, what was viewed as right or honorable in the eyes of man versus lingering. Mary lingered. Martha was just trying to do the right thing. Do you ever choose proximity with God over presence? What does that look like? Right? We can do a lot of things that look like proximity with God. We go to church. You could read your Bible. You could even put on some worship songs. But if you don't really linger in the presence, you don't connect to the presence, you're just in proximity with God. Now, a lot of good stuff can happen when you're in proximity. Right? Did Jesus like he corrected Mary about, or Martha, about what was right and wrong, what was the best thing. But he didn't destroy her. He didn't condemn her. He didn't, right? There's amazing things that happen in proximity with Jesus. But the best way is presence. To connect with him at a deeper level, to commune with him at a deeper level. If all you do is proximity, you do all the things of the Christian world, the Christian church, that kind of thing, and you never connect with him, you're missing the whole picture. It's all about relationship. Mary chose the best way, the good part, which was to connect with Jesus at a deeper level. What happens when the Lord chooses to let his manifest presence linger with us? So you can turn to 2 Chronicles 5. It talks about when Solomon was building the temple and it was complete. And we'll start in verse 11. It says, when the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions. And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Haman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. In unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, he indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So when the temple was complete and they worshiped and praised, and I never saw this before, but there's 120 priests. Do you guys remember of another time that God showed up in a powerful way with 120 people? Pentecost, right? The fire of the Lord came upon them, 120. It's interesting. Never looked at that before. That's not my message. The glory of the Lord filled the house. When they had done whatever was going to be set up, they worship, they praise, the glory of the Lord falls upon the house, and the priest couldn't stand to minister. They were undone in the wave of the glory. The Lord lingered, and nothing else mattered. Does that make sense? There's a time, there's places where the Lord comes, and he just lingers. He just rests on us. We don't know the why. We don't even need to try to figure it out. It's not a formula that you do this, this, and this happens, right? It's not about that. The Lord sometimes in history chooses to rest on a place, to linger in a place. And his manifest glory shows up, and his presence is a consuming presence. Nothing else matters when that happens, right? When did Jesus linger? Do you think Jesus ever lingered? There's a couple of places where I see. The first is in Mark 1, verse 35. It's just one verse, so you don't have to turn. It says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. So Jesus lingered with the Father in the early morning in a secluded place. When everybody else was sleeping, Jesus said, this is a good time for me to get away, to commune with my Father. Again, in Luke 6:12, it says, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. So Jesus spent a whole night with the Father. Another reference in Scripture says this happened more than once, right? It happened often in his connection with the Father. But he needed time to linger in the Father's presence. He needed time to commune with him, to receive from him. It's not just to talk to God. It's actually to receive from God. Remember, Jesus, he only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying. Where did that happen? Obviously, it happened on the go as he was going. But I think a chunk of it happened in these times where he was just lingering with the Father. He was present with him, hearing him, receiving from him, right? And Jesus tells his disciples, come follow me into all. Don't you think part of following Jesus is to adopt a lifestyle of lingering? Right? There's something to that. There's something to that. I also think that Jesus lingered to advance the kingdom. If you want to turn to John chapter 4, verse 39 to 43, it says, "From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all the things that I have done.'" So if you remember the story, we're not going to go into the whole story, but Jesus, he was on his way to Jerusalem. He tells his disciples, "I need to go through Samaria," which no Jewish person ever did. They always went around. They traveled around because they weren't supposed to associate with the Samaritans. They get to a well, and Jesus is thirsty. There's a woman in the middle of the day who's getting water when nobody in their right mind gets water. So she has a story, and Jesus asks for a drink. And they have this conversation with one another, and ultimately Jesus reveals to this woman, who he shouldn't be talking to because he's one a Jew and she's a Samaritan, he's a man and she's a woman. So he's breaking all the boundaries, all the barriers, and he reveals to this woman that he's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he tells her a prophetic word about her life. She believes that he is a prophet, something significant. Her eyes are open. She runs back to the town, which if you read the story in the fine print, right, that she's been ostracized by the people of the town because of her behavior and her lifestyle. And the reality is she goes and she shares, come see a man who told me everything about my life. Could he be the Messiah? Could he be the Savior? That's her testimony, right? And people believed. And that's where we're picking it up. It says, so when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they followed the woman back to Jesus. They were asking him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." And after the 2 days, he went forth from there into Galilee. So I read that or look at that one aspect of it is Jesus lingered in the work of the Lord to advance the kingdom. It was against Jewish law and custom for Jesus to be talking and interacting with the Samaritan woman. Then when they ask him to stay with him or them because of the woman's account, Jesus stays there for 2 days. He's lingering in a place that he's not supposed to be. He eats with them. He shares with them. He's obviously sleeping in one of their homes, you would imagine, right? I don't know. What's the fruit of this lingering? They say it's no longer because of what the woman said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Jesus lingers to reveal the Father's heart and to advance the kingdom. He lingers, I believe, to love others well. Jesus, he also lingers out of obedience. John chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." It's one of the craziest scriptures in the book because it makes no rational sense. How many of you, if one of your dear friends was sick or dying, you got the message and it was possible for you to go to them, to be with them, especially if you had miracle working power inside of you that you could heal them, right? And everybody knows it, that you then decide, no, I'm supposed to stay here a couple more days. And in the process of staying, what happens? Lazarus dies, right? So it doesn't make sense. So why does Jesus do it? I believe he stays because intimacy triumphed over the fear of man. Jesus, again, he only did what he saw the Father doing. Where did he hear that he was supposed to stay? How did he know that he was supposed to stay and not just go? I believe it's in those times of communing with the Father. There's something about lingering in the presence where your ears become more attuned to the Spirit. Your eyes are more attuned to seeing what he's doing. You can actually feel his presence and what he's about. Jesus laid down the expectations of man. Now, this isn't just a project. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were people that Jesus loved dearly, deeply. He cared for them. It was known that he cared for them. Many had faith that Jesus could heal the sick and dying. Why? Because they'd seen it. They heard it. There's testimony after testimony after testimony of what Jesus had done, what he released. But the Father is doing something new. The Father's demonstrating in this situation something beyond what they could think or imagine. Right? And Jesus says, "Here I am. Send me." Jesus wasn't a robot. He says, "Here I am. Send me. I'll take all the ridicule for why didn't you come? Why didn't you rush here? Why didn't you not care?" Did Jesus care about Lazarus? He sure did. Did Jesus wait because he was just tired? He didn't feel like it? No. He waited because he had a word from the Lord that he was supposed to wait. Because God wanted to demonstrate something so beyond what they could ever think or imagine about his heart and his power. And so Jesus says, "We're waiting." Jesus knew the heart of the Father so intimately because he lingered with the Father so much. So he pushes through the fear of man and he demonstrates the Father's heart at a higher level, that nothing is impossible with God. When he gets to the Bethany, what do they tell him? "If only you had gotten here sooner," when he still was alive. "If only. Why didn't you come?" And what does Jesus say? "Believe. Believe." Can you believe? Can you dare to believe that even in this situation, which looks really, really bleak, that the Father is going to do something? He's going to release something new, something powerful. And he says, "Roll away the stone." And they say, "Don't do it. He's been in there for 4 days. It's going to smell really bad." Right? You guys ever have a rat in your house or a mouse, right, that dies? It smells pretty bad. Think of opening up the tomb. They say, "Don't do it." Why? Because they didn't believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. And we're not going to default them, right? Are you going to default them? Do you believe? Right? You see what I'm saying? Right? What's your expectation when somebody passes away? Yet Jesus said for his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead. He modeled something of what's possible in the kingdom. Obviously, he had a word from the Lord that this was what he was doing that day with Lazarus. Right? And so he calls Lazarus forth, and Lazarus walks out in his grave clothes, and he says, "Take those things off, because he's going to live today." I think of Jesus in the tomb. He was in the tomb for 3 days. Did he linger? What happened in the tomb? We don't know. There's no insight what really took place in the tomb. What was going on there? We could speculate and we can imagine, but the reality is there was a connection even in that place with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I believe this morning there's an invitation from the Holy Spirit for the sons and daughters to linger with the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit Who are the sons and daughters? You and me, right? You and me. We're the sons and daughters. So like Joshua, will you choose to remain in his presence when others move on? Like Mary, will you choose to sit at Jesus' feet in the midst of all the activity that's going on around you, all the things that are clamoring, you need to attend to, need to attend to, need to attend to? Will you choose to sit at his feet where he would say, that's the best part, the good part? Or like Jesus, will you do whatever it takes to get away with the Father in the midst of all the demands on your life? Why did Jesus get away in the middle of the night? It was the only time possible for him to be alone with the Father. Especially once miracles started happening, there was masses of people clamoring around him at all times. You think your life's busy, right? With all stuff coming at you. Jesus, once the miracle started happening, right? It's funny, you see in the scriptures where he tells people, don't tell anybody that this happened. And they can't help but tell anybody. A guy is healed from leprosy. How's he not going to tell, right? It's unrealistic. And yet the reality is, as soon as that started happening, there was no peace for Jesus in that sense. People are constantly around him. The only time he could get away is in the middle of the night. Do you ever carve out time in the middle of the night? Because it's the only time of your life that you can connect with Jesus the Father and the Holy Spirit at a deeper level. Will you linger to share the Father's heart? Will you linger to see the kingdom advanced? Will you linger when the fear of man is so palpable you could cut it with a knife? Will you linger? Will you press in to linger, or are you waiting for the glory of the Lord to come and linger on you? Right? Some of us, I think that's how we live. We instead of pressing in, we're like, well, he did it in the temple and he did it in the upper room. So if he really wants to pour out his manifest presence, I'm available whenever. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep doing life. If he wants to show up at church this Sunday, great. Or will you linger? Will you press in? Will you take the initiative today, this week, this month, this year, right? Romans 8:19 says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. We already said that you and I are the sons of God, right? Will you linger with him, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that you can truly reveal him? If it is true that all of creation is waiting for the revelation, the revealing of the sons in God, and you and I are the sons of God, will you linger so that we can truly reveal who he is? And then set that aside. Like, I think that we can look at and we say, that's noble. That would be noble to do. Because those people, everybody else who doesn't have connection or relationship with God, they deserve to know. That's what Jesus paid for, right? So we can look at that and we can say, I'll do it for that. That's a good reason to linger with him. Now I want you to lay that aside. This last part of my message is the most important part of my message, and it has everything to do just with you. It says this, the Father loves you. Do you know your name? Why don't you say your name right now? Philip. Say it again louder. Philip. The Father loves you deeply. Jesus loves you deeply. The Holy Spirit loves you deeply. So God longs to be with you. Can you say that? God longs to be with me. Let's say it together. God longs to be with me. He loves to reveal his heart to you. His heart for you. He loves it. And he loves to pour out gifts to you. He loves to. He's a good father. He loves it. He loves it. He loves you so much more than you could ever think or imagine. He loves to be with you more than you could ever think or imagine. He has so much more at his disposal that he wants to pour out to you than you could ever think or imagine. So the big question is, will you linger with him for you? For you. So you can receive all that he has for you. Just for you. Not because you're going to go advance the kingdom. Just for you. Does God care about advancing the kingdom? Sure he does. Jesus died on the cross so that we could advance the kingdom. But he said, for God so loved the world. Who's the world? You and me. All mankind. It's not a big group. It's individuals. You're one of them. He loves you. He loves you. There's an invitation to linger with him for you. Let's pray. Jesus, we do. We worship and praise you today. And we thank you for what you modeled while you walked on earth, demonstrating a connection, a relational connection, an intimacy with the Father, communing with him and partnering with him to receive your belovedness, right, when he spoke over you personally, as well as ministering through you with the Holy Spirit to set captives free wherever you went. You modeled lingering in order to advance the kingdom. You modeled lingering out of obedience. And then we thank you for Joshua, who stayed in the tent even when Moses left. We thank you for the Mary who sat at your feet, and you said it was the best part or the good part to sit and receive, even in the midst of activity that's going on around her. And Lord, we want more of you. We recognize that we need more of you and that there is more of you to be had. There's more of you to know. There's more of you to love. There's more of you to experience. And it doesn't happen really unless we choose to linger, to stay in that place of connection and intimacy with you. And so, Father, you know every single person who's hearing the sound of my voice, whether right now or on the podcast, you know their story. You know what's tricky about their connection with you, right? They can hear this message and it raises things for them about either why that's hard to do or they don't know where to start or whatever, right? There's all things that pop into people's minds. And yet the reality, when you give an invitation, you always back it up with a grace to show us exactly what it looks like. And it's going to be different for every single person. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that as people receive the invitation today and they open it up and they make a choice, either yes or no, I want to choose to linger or I'm actually okay where I'm at. The good news, if they decide I'm okay where I'm at, you still love them fully. Your love is on. It never stops. If they choose to linger and they press in for more, show. I just praise you, Jesus, for what you're going to reveal. Would you show each person specific steps of what that could look like this week? Maybe they linger for one more minute a day. I guarantee you that lingering 1 minute will accomplish more than you could ever think or imagine, both in you and through you. Yeah. Open up our eyes to see the truth of the power of lingering, especially in this holiday season, Lord. We just want to connect with you more. We want to know you more. And we ask that you would seal this word and that you would, utilize it to accomplish an abundant harvest, both in our lives and the lives of those that we encounter as we reveal the Father's heart wherever we go. We just ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.